Hey, everybody. Welcome to Boiling Point Faith and Fire, where we're not going to flinch when the truth hits and we're not going to sit here and pretend like the world is not on fire. Okay. We mix it up a little, faith, freedom, and literally a fight for both. So if you came here for your grandma's polite church sermon, wrong show, babe. We are the ones flipping tables when compromise is wearing a fancy suit. Okay. Listen, I know how it feels. You feel tired, heavy, and frustrated watching the world spin out while you're trying to stay grounded in God, and you felt like you're doing all the right things, but like you're running on fumes spiritually and physically. When you dig for answers and find out it's not just your spirit that's out of balance, it's your body too. This is why I tell you guys, like, I'm telling you right now, you have to get this Omega blood test, okay? 97% of people are imbalanced, and big pharma can't make money when you're healthy. So your doctor's never going to tell you about this. But once you see the truth of what's happening inside your cells, you find out what you've been missing. You're going to get that peace, energy, focus, and clarity that will only come when you decide to stop running on empty. And speaking of not running on empty, shout out to my co-host Rory, the best podcast coach alive. If you've got a message sitting on your chest and literally no clue how to get it out, okay, stop guessing. You have to get resourced. Rory's going to help you do this. No bullshit, no tech headaches, just your voice, your story, your platform. And just for legal reasons, everything we say on the show is an opinion. Not medical, legal, or political advice. Just here to stir a little bit of conviction, not lawsuits. So if something rubs you the wrong way, pray before you post about it. Okay. So hello, Rory. How are you, darling?
Oh my goodness, I'm better than I deserve. Thank you, Brandon, for that wonderful lead in. And everything is wonderful. Everything is wonderful. I feel like that Lego movie, right? You know, everything is perfect or whatever the guy was singing. Yeah. So, yep, everything is
Every
good.
day is happy.
Yep.
My
Happy,
kids love
happy,
that song.
happy
Do you
day,
guys
I
have
suppose.
snow?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We got hit hard with
Did
snow
you?
for like a day, and now it's all just sitting here lingering and causing everybody a problem. But we had two bursts, and I
Nice.
only know that because I had to clean the car off twice. So.
I know. That was my sign. I didn't. I have to clean out the garage to park my car in it for the summer because we put our motorcycles in the main space, but it all needs to be shifted. And I was late to the game, so it is not fun cleaning a car. My car was frozen shut Monday morning, so at 6:30 in the morning, I'm trying to like bust into my car, and then my back door was like frozen. So I was outside for a good 6 minutes. I couldn't get in my house. Every other door is locked. This one like was frozen. I couldn't get the little button to click to open the. It was welcome to winter. Welcome
Yeah.
to winter. But my view is gorgeous. I just want to say, you guys, like I listen, I know people struggle with winter and the cold, but like the snow is so pretty to me and it is so peaceful and the world gets super quiet. What I don't like about Michigan is 9 times out of 10, it's just a brown, dead, muddy mess. Like we haven't had actual snow. And right now, like snow is still stacked on trees. My porch is, I love the view of this. Like I wish this could be my winter view. If it's
People
going to be
who don't
cold, at
get
least
it.
make it pretty. People, what?
People who don't get it, they don't get it. Like
They
if you
don't
don't
really
have
get it.
snow in your backyard to like sort of sit there and just have a cup of coffee out on your back porch when it's freezing cold, but you're just breathing in that really cold Midwestern air, you know, that's a thing people don't get if they don't get it. And it's unfortunate because it's one of my favorite things about having the snow. You know, go out there, wrap a blanket around you and get the hot cup of coffee or cocoa for lesser people, you know, and people who can't handle coffee. But
Yeah,
yeah,
no, I hear
it's
you,
awesome.
but it's a gorgeous view. So I feel like I have to shut my blinds at some point because I'm just like daydreaming, distracted. It's so pretty out there. Plus, you guys, I've been staring at my phone since I would say probably 10 o'clock this morning, just speed reading because like so many things don't make sense to me
There's so
about.
much. Oh.
So many things don't make sense to me.
It's
And
so
I've got
much.
this perspective. Okay. Like everything I question, it's my dialogue is literally, okay, Brandon, if you were the devil, how would you play this out? Because that's the real game here. And I want you guys to get grounded in that. That is the real game. Okay. It is spiritual warfare. This is not just the stage of politics and I mean this the real deal, the end game. We came here for a human experience, and we were called to not only bring ourselves back to Christ, but to bring everybody we can back to Christ and to remember who we were. And the devil got an open playing field. So my question today, I'm reading all this stuff, and that is the constant narrative of like, okay, if I was the devil, how would I work this out? Like, why on November 10th, okay, did our president bring a terrorist into the White House? And that's a fact. He had like a bounty on his head. Okay. So he was an Islamist commander. I read that much to be true. But like, this is, we've never even had a Syrian leader in the White House for, since I don't even know when, like the 1900s. I know that sounds so long ago, but literally like the 1900s. And so we're waiving sanctions, and we're trying to pursue a normalization of relations, and supposedly Syria is agreeing to integrate their forces into its regular military, which, whatever. But like, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
I help. Why are we
It's
doing this?
great place to start. I mean, you didn't like wade in slowly. You went to the deep
No.
end and you grabbed a concrete block and jumped in to the deep end. So I appreciate you starting off with
Yeah.
the,
I
with
mean,
that
it's
one
the
today.
thing that's been keeping me awake. I'm like, we really did that. Like, at my core, listen, I, you know, Rory and I talked about doing a holding Trump accountable podcast episode, and this probably isn't it because this opens up a whole can of worms here. But I do like to see all sides. That's what why things don't make sense to me all the time, because I'm like, I have to see like what is their perspective and what would be the game plan if this is what he's doing, and what's the end game for this? So there's a
All
lot
right.
of layers here. Because
Let
like
me
we,
get,
yeah.
I just want to get something in real quick, and then you can go back on your rant. First, because it's November 11th, I want to make sure,
Oh,
that I'm saying
yes.
Happy Veterans Day to everybody. Now, I know from a lot of the veterans I work with that they hate that because it's like, oh, Happy Veterans Day. Like it's, happy
Yeah.
whatever day. Guys, we're veterans all the time. So
Yeah.
it's great that you pick out one day to recognize this, but could we get some health care? Could we maybe
Yeah.
get a little mental health help that doesn't label us as, this and that? So I mean there's a lot for veterans, but on this day at the very least, I want to make sure that we're recognizing our veterans. I have on all
Absolutely.
my other podcasts too, so I want to make sure we do that here. And I know you feel that way. But I
Oh,
also know
for
when you
sure.
get really worked up, it's like
You
easy to
guys,
forget what day it is.
it is
All
not
good.
personal. I wasn't even
Not at
looking at
all.
the date, but I love you guys, and I'm sorry that
There you go.
America has failed you. I am truly sorry. I know I
Pretty
speak for a
bad.
lot of people. Like, we have let you down. We've let you down, and I'm sorry is not even enough, but we
No.
do think about you often here, and you are appreciated, and I mean, just thank you. Thank you.
And just so you guys know what it's like doing a podcast with Brandon, okay, is that, I find out when I come on the show that that's not the show we're doing today. So we're just going to take all this work that I put into this, and this
No,
is going to go. No,
we can
we're
include
good. No. You know what? Hey, there it
it.
goes. It's all great because I go into every single show prepared
My God.
for whatever may happen, and it's
Yes.
actually really exciting because I love coming in to do our shows because I never know where you're going to go, so it's
Oh.
never boring. It's never boring, and it's always really awesome conversation because you love to talk about whatever's stirring your heart at that moment, and I
Yes.
am here for it. I
I
am
appreciate that.
all in on that. But just so in case I can get a couple sympathy points for being
You
on this side
guys,
of the mic.
seriously, I would say the number one person that can understand what Rory goes through is my husband. And he was
100%
like,
not
Rory
bad.
is really like he just gives you huge props for being able to handle the situation, because Rory gets this for an hour a day. Benjamin gets this like every day his whole life. So it is a buckle up, like what's going to happen today? It's like
Only
Christmas
imagine.
with me every morning. You never know. But it's funny because when we started the show, I was like, Rory, you can't surprise me. I'll get lost. I have to do research because I'm not smart. Like I'm not smart about all of
You
this
know
stuff.
you
Like
are, so you really need to stop putting that out there
I
into the
mean,
universe,
not
okay? Just
listen, I'm very intelligent and I can keep up with the conversation and I can make sense of things, but like I don't know a lot about the laws of like how we interact with other countries. I don't know a lot about the laws, even in the United States. I'm surprised every single day when I look something up and I'm like, oh my gosh, they can't do this because it's illegal. Like we can't just shut this program off. Like there's a lot of things that I don't know. And I don't know if I have the capacity to ever learn it. So I guess I get intimidated because you're smart about that stuff. Like you know a lot about stuff in a different way, you know, like where I can talk about makeup products and skincare. I could talk about that all day long. People could surprise me and I could handle it. But you talk about laws and rules and regulations, I'd have no idea.
Well, that's the only
I have
reason I
no
have a
idea.
job on this show is to come in here and, try and keep us in between
Because
the
you're so
navigational
smart.
beacons, you know?
Yes.
So
Yes.
no, it's all good. To answer your question and get back on our topic,
Yeah.
Trump right now is doing so many things that I think everybody on both sides are just shaking their heads at that it almost makes me think it's intentional.
Right.
Everything he does is to try to upset somebody's apple cart somewhere. So he doesn't because he doesn't have to prove anything. He's
Right.
in there for four years, three plus more. He
Yep.
doesn't care. He doesn't have to do anything to get reelected. And frankly, if the rest of the party blows it, I don't know if he really cares about legacy after that. He's in there to do everything he can do to help, anybody he can, especially himself and his own interests, which is fine, right? As long as those interests align with mine, great. But he's
Right.
in there to do the job he's going to do. And he just doesn't care. So if he does something like this, there's a bigger purpose to it because, while most of us are out here playing checkers, Trump is always playing chess.
Right.
Always playing chess. He has been his entire life. I mean, you don't build billions and billions of dollars worth of stuff without being 10 steps ahead of the guy
10
next to you.
steps ahead.
And
Yeah.
he is. And so all we can do is react to what he does, because we're not part of the process of what is he getting ready to go do. My first thought when I saw this, okay, was, okay, we're trying to prove a point here. And I wonder, honestly, if the point is, I'm not afraid of anybody. I don't care what any of you say. I know
Yeah.
there's bounties on my head across the entire globe, and I don't care. Not only do I trust my military right this second and my Secret Service to protect me, but you can be in my own house and I don't have to worry about you because I am all that and a bag of chips. You know what I'm
Right.
saying? I think he's strutting a little bit, putting it on, going, I fear nobody and I fear nothing. So when you come to my negotiating table, know this. And I think the message is to everybody. It's not just to foreign leaders. I think the message is to Democrats. I think the message is to the Supreme Court. I think the message is to the media, and it's definitely to the protesters. So when you're looking for answers from Trump, the one thing you can do is go back and look at his last like 10 tweets, because he does not go to keeping a secret. He gets really excited about his plans and he starts tweeting them. But
Right.
so I that's my answer to that is
Yeah.
I think he's making a point of it.
And see, that makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense because ISIS had a stronghold of fear, you know, in our country for sure. So I think, yeah, I like that
I could be wrong.
perspective. No, I like
Just
that
my
perspective.
opinion. Yeah.
Looking at all sides of it, I do deep down really hope that Trump has not sold out and that he's not bought and paid for. I do feel like if some rumors have it that Israel's buying has something on our government, and that's why the things continue the way they do. So I don't have any facts on that. Can't go to fact check for that. And we're going to talk about that too, because Israel. I don't know what I don't know.
I hear you.
But
I hear you.
if he knows, I feel like I would like to believe, because he's not a politician. He's a businessman. Like whatever you think of him, he's still not a politician. Okay. business guys know how to wheel and deal too, though, not on the same platform. So I'm thinking, like, maybe he knows, and everything he's doing, like crumbling the little walls and stuff, getting everybody upset, is going to be to expose something he thinks we're not ready to know yet. And there are things that would ultimately devastate the country. So is he protecting us from that, or is he part of it? You know, like, what happened between him and Elon? There's something happened in that little time frame when Doge was going down. Like, Trump found out something. He found out something. And I can't get to the bottom of what that could be. No matter how much I research, like, I hit roadblocks unless I went on the dark web, and I just haven't, I can't get myself to do it.
When you're down there, though, I mean, you're getting a lot of supposition and a lot of guessing, kind of like what we can do also. You know what I mean? So just be a little careful with that. But I mean, you do get a lot of good information down there, though, because there's a lot of stuff that's out that not everybody knows is out. So that is good stuff. All of these things. I think, first of all, I think Trump's probably a part of everything in a little bit, in a little way. And he's definitely working on stuff that benefits him and his family, because I mean, that's
Anybody would do
otherwise, why
that.
run?
As president, anybody's going to do that. So I don't want you guys to be like, ah, Trump. No, come
No.
on.
But
We
when I hear
talk about every
Democrats,
president.
no. When I hear, Democrats and especially progressives talking about, oh, well, he's just doing this for his own benefit. I don't know how you say that with a straight face after what Biden did. I heard one of the representatives going over this entire Biden, money laundering case with Ukraine and all this other stuff that his family did. And he was like, I can't even take this questioning seriously, because if we're going to talk about what Trump and his family have done in business, and we're going to talk about what Biden and his family did in business, Trump and his family own businesses. They're actually businesses. They own hotels and resorts and everything else around the world. So if they're off with another country negotiating something, at least there's a business there. Biden didn't own anything. Okay, except nine houses.
These
Okay,
guys in all
are
their
you kidding?
houses. Ugh.
Give me a break with
Ugh.
this. So, there's no reason to be out making deals with foreign leaders if you don't have a business. It's clearly just about money and favors. So, I think you kind of have to take a little bit of that. Plus, he's doing the job for free also. Trump doesn't get a paycheck. This is the second time he's been the president, and he doesn't make his $400,000 a year salary.
Well, he has to take the paycheck. So if you guys are going to fact check us, he does have to take it, but he donates it. So, like,
Right,
legally,
right,
all
right,
these
right.
guys have to take their paycheck. So I don't want you to be like, oh my gosh, you said he doesn't, but I know he took it. Well, he
Correct.
donates it. Okay. He
Correct.
donates it. And I think anybody with money like that should get it donated to whoever they want. It's not our business, but he's not putting it in his bank account
Right
to
on.
pay the bills on his bougie hotels. Okay. So we're not funding his business, but he does legally. I did learn that. He does have to do
Excellent
that.
fact
But
check. I appreciate that.
yeah, this
Feel like I'm on here with Zuckerberg today or something.
that's so funny. No, we're not that extreme here. But I do feel like, and I've seen the conversation where this meeting with him is just huge red flags for people, especially with kind of the what's going on in our country here. It's like, it's a very radical handshake, you know, with a terrorist in the White House. It looks like we're endorsing the wrong thing a little bit. So I feel like there's a little bit of a moral dilemma. No matter what he's doing, I still get that people are like, what the heck? And I mean, this, we've been deadlocked with Syria forever. You know, I just feel like this is a huge gamble. And I mean, great. If it works, cool. That's a new chapter in Syria, maybe less extreme, maybe a little US influence, but like, there's a lot of bad shit going on over there. And
There is. There is. Go ahead.
I still am America first. Like,
I hear you. I'm
America
America.
first.
I'm like, Marjorie Taylor Greene at this point. I'm America only. I'm with you. 100%. I don't care really about anybody else right now except us, because until we take care of us, I don't even want to hear another dollar going someplace else
But
for
we're
anyone.
doing that. Like, we're
I
making
know.
that our business right now. And
I know.
that is what is very frustrating for me. So then I'm like, okay, so best case scenario, you know, if he's doing the strategic redemption play, whatever that is, You know, maybe we really do get them to cut ties with the radical fractions. Maybe we open economic relations, like maybe even take down some of the leverage that Russia and Iran has in the region, right? Like, 14 years of bloodshed displaced half the country, you know?
Yeah.
Does it give us back regional influence that we lost to Russia? Maybe. But I still feel like, are we dealing with the devil and that we're going to make him behave? I don't know.
All right. Well, go ahead.
Is it a political resurrection story? I don't know.
Do you have your tinfoil hat with you?
I do.
Okay. Because if you want to like put it on right now,
I don't take it off.
I keep mine off to the side. I put it on when I need it, you know, but
yeah.
I'm very connected with a lot of people over in England right now. And it's really weird that that has happened. It's not on purpose. It just sort of has taken place. Just through podcasting. I've interviewed so many people from different areas of England for all the different podcasts I have. And to a person, they are all like really, really open about sharing everything that's happening over there. A lot of them have big Facebook accounts where they're sharing these stories. And so just follow me for 2 seconds. Yeah. There's a gigantic radical Islam problem in England right now. They're just being overrun. They're taking over the government at different stages, the whole nine yards. That problem is also going on in other areas, but I personally am plugged into what's happening in England. So I'm seeing a lot of it. One of the things that, you know, Starmer has come out with recently is, well, look, you know, I'd love to deport everybody too, but, you know, we have nowhere to deport them to. That was his latest milquetoast, you know, sort of, you know, ponytail answer for how am I going to actually handle this problem that he has no intention of handling.
Right.
And so there's been a lot of talk about that. And from what I understand, there have been a couple of world leaders who have gotten together to talk about that, and Trump was one of them. And so it wouldn't surprise me if Trump is talking to people like he just did about their territory and maybe, hey, I need to send these people someplace.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so how about we send them to your place and I don't really care what you do to them, you know, conversation, you know,
right.
Because if Trump were to, I don't know, step up to the world stage and say, hey, I've worked this out, you can send all these people there.
Right.
Not only is he kind of a hero, but then what are all these really seriously spineless world leaders going to do? They can't keep saying there's nowhere to go. Trump stands up and says, I'm helping you guys. I made this deal. Now you can send people there. Get them out of your country. Right? You're not sending them back to the country that they fled from, because that's what people keep leaning on. Oh, they escaped persecution. Can't send them back there. Send them somewhere else then. But they're not staying here. You know, on our dime. So I just wonder, again, if you're playing, and this is like from Star Trek, it's like four-dimensional chess, okay?
Yeah.
I just have a feeling he's looking at things from angles that we have no idea.
Don't see.
No. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's good. It just means there's a lot going on internationally right now.
Right.
And all that benefits us because, you know, if there's a place to send these people, oh, well, then maybe we can send our people there too. And then the progressive, nothing to say. And if, you know, England's doing it, and Germany's doing it, and Spain's doing it, well, why is it wrong for us to do it?
Right.
You know, maybe we have to stop putting ourselves out on the chopping block and let somebody else be there for a little while.
I like that perspective. And I'm going to search until I can find something that would support that. Any little clue, any little crumb of like, man, that's a possibility. But I mean, ultimately, you guys, again, it's not even about like the political world stage. It's not about any of that. Is the ultimate end game. And if I were the devil, I'm pushing a one world order. That makes so much sense. People are money hungry, power hungry, control, money, control. Those are the things that we want. And we know that the devil isn't showing up with horns and a pitchfork, right? Like he's going to be peace. And you guys, if you're just listening to this, I did the air quotes because peace, that's how he shows up. And he's going to use the chaos and the things that have people scratching their heads, the mess, religious fractures, economies, like all of these things, because their end game is to make that global control sound reasonable. And I feel like Peace is a great cover for control, and I think you're right for that. If he looks like he's offering peace and he can get some leverage, absolutely, we control, and that'd be the perfect pawn. I mean, they're war torn. The people are exhausted. So have the world, have that global sympathy. Have everybody in the United States freaking out because of what's happening over there. Very distracting from America first, And if I was the devil, my favorite setup, crisis, fatigue, bring the world to its knees with all this mess, and then offer unity and peace and fancy handshakes in the White House. Like, it's I it,
There you go.
I do support your idea that this is probably positioning in one way or another. Now, is Trump part of the one world order? To be determined. I don't think we're ever going to know until it's too late. Everybody that was in on it.
I think the issue that I have with even considering that is that you can't, I guess it's just one of those you can't have it both ways things. You can't sit there and believe that Trump is all about his own interests and the interests of his family and their power and what they're doing
And
and
be
their
about the one
legacy
world order.
and, right, support a one world order because that directly impacts everything he's trying to build for his family. Just don't, I can't see it. I don't see a guy spending his whole life, every minute of his life building what he's trying to give to his family and trying to establish a legacy that will never die, through kids and grandkids and on and on and on, because he got it from his dad. So it's really important. And I just don't see that guy going for the betterment of all the world, even the people that I can't stand. It just doesn't, he can't be self-serving and totally filling his own pocket and also be trying to, be some benevolent god. Doesn't work. Can't serve both those. You can't ride two horses with one butt. So
And
gotta
I
pick
mean,
one.
the reality is, you guys, what is the reality? Again, it's always going to come back to being spiritual. And I feel like what we're watching isn't just geopolitics. It's not. It's a setup because it's happened over and over in the Bible and in history. When the world is crying for peace and safety, the Bible will literally tell you, then destruction comes. So I feel like the devil's greatest game is building that false peace to pave the way for forced or distracted worship. And I think ultimately that's where whichever way you want to go with this or whatever your opinion is, like, we are watching the devil's playbook unfold no matter what. And it is about, like, God wrote the ending already. We know the good guys win. So no matter how much this stuff keeps me awake, it's not a panic. It's not a freak out, like there's no real terror, there's no real fear. So I don't want you guys to feel that emotion. I never want this show to make you feel that doom and gloom, because it's possible. Like, it's easy for people to get caught up in that. And every decision just looks like it's depressing. Like, America first, and here we are not doing America first again.
True.
It can be exhausting if you take that on, but I need you guys just to stand in that truth. And understand that no matter what happens, like, the good guy won. And it's been important for me, I guess, to hang on to that, to know, like, God finished this. He already did. It's already played out. So ideally, whatever happens, like, we are safe. We are loved. And your biggest job right now is to get your name in his book. It's not about getting people to agree with you on your Facebook page. It's not about, Brandon finding all the answers that I probably will never find. It's not about any of that. It's just getting in that book. Even outside of Syria today, I saw a rumor that Israel has their hands in our AI. And so I went down that rabbit hole, and they absolutely do. Anything. I spent 20 minutes today asking chat and whatever X's thing is, asking them questions. They will not. I cannot talk about Israel. I cannot question them. I cannot say anything. So I had to do some deep searches and a lot of scrolling to find some truth. And here's what happens. There's a lot of corporations that they use as their main fronts for everything. It's the same thing with TikTok, because if you go to Google search right now and you're like, did Israel buy TikTok? It's going to say, no, absolutely not. They did not buy TikTok. Okay, so who bought TikTok? And if you start researching the people that bought TikTok, they cannot deny the Israeli ties. They cannot deny that it is Israel with American front companies. And the same thing is happening with chat right now. They have put millions into AI to serve their narrative. The same way that they have manipulated the media, they own our media. You guys could do the research, follow Disney, follow all of those companies. A lot of Israel money, more than I've seen United States money. Like it's disturbing. And so, if I was the devil, would this be my play? Like, is Israel the best chess piece? Because you're dividing everybody at this point. You're dividing everybody because there are people who are going to protect it. There are people who are going to call it out. I'm just saying, that's a thing. It's a thing that they have so much heavy influence. And is their point that one world order? Is that their point?
Well, first, I want to give you all the credit in the world. I didn't know that about who bought TikTok. So nice job.
Yes.
I'm not surprised, though. That's why I'm like nodding my head, because I'm like, I didn't
Right.
know this. And that's awesome information to know. Still doesn't change how I feel about Israel, in regards to everything else, unfortunately. I have a really hard time with whatever we come up with about Israel and looking at them as a bad guy.
Yeah.
Not because of some, I think they're the center of the universe or anything, but just because we don't have a lot of choice. We've been backed into a corner by the previous administration, especially, because they gave the entire Arab, radical Islamic world the idea that we might not support them. And as long as it's always been a given that the United States supports Israel, well, then that has actually done just the idea has stemmed some of the tide of radical Islam growing, because they knew if they came at Israel, then we'd be there, and they weren't ready for that.
Right.
The last 4 years, the weekend of Bernie's 4 year ep long episode that we've been dealing with, has emboldened all of the radical Islamic nations and people to say, hey, it's time, let's go attack. They've come after Israel like never before. They took the hostages, on October 7th of last year. I mean,
Right.
everything. They've done everything they could to poke the bear to see if the bear was going to react, and we didn't. We were asleep at the wheel. And so now we don't have any real choice to get our enemies back in line than to defend their enemy. So the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Right.
And that's unfortunately where we are. Now, is Israel taking advantage of everything that happened over the last 4 years to dig in and go, now you actually need us, so we're going to take advantage of it? Yeah, they are. Are they doing some really bad stuff? Yeah, they are. Are they gaining control in a lot of ways? Yeah, they are. Is that a problem we have to deal with? Yeah, it is. But unfortunately, we have to deal with the actual invasion that's happening first. And weak leadership brings on times like this. 4 years of the weakest leadership I've ever seen anywhere
Right.
in my entire lifetime has led us to this point. And so you can't just push a reset button. You have to deal with, unfortunately, the barbarians that are at the gate first before you can deal with the ones that are gathering, in the distance. And they're at the gate right now.
Right. Again, if I was the devil and I put all of this into perspective, that's exactly what I would want, is having the ruckus at the gate. And people are distracted. And now this is a perfect time to move in and hijack influence. How do you do that? We don't have to give Israel the keys to the United States of America. Like, they already came in the back door. to get into the loudest rooms. That's all you want to do is just to be heard. So when you start letting another country get their hands in your media, in your chat, which everybody is using chat. I researched some numbers on that of how dependent people have become with chat. It's insane to me.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what I would do. I don't think that we should. I don't think that should be allowed. I don't think that another country, no matter what, should be able to come in the back door and have this much influence. And they've had it, you guys. They've had it. And how has the media treated us so far? A big woke agenda. I mean, there's nothing that I can see that isn't some propaganda, again, just signing off on BS that is not God's plan. So yeah, make Israel the world's emotional trigger. Cool. Devil, keep the Middle East boiling, you know, keep Hamas going crazy. Everything that happens, it's going to be on X and TikTok and CNN within minutes. So then you've got those, the pro-Israel Christians screaming like, this is prophecy, protect God's people. And everyone else is like, this is genocide, boycott. And yeah, if I was the devil, let's split Christians for sure. Let's fracture churches. No unity, no moral voice. Suicide bombers still happening. I think there's one in Pakistan yesterday. Like, you know what I mean? Like, make sure the news is blaming Iranian-backed terrorists. I don't know. I think it's all a mess. I think we just shut off the world, get everybody's hands out of our shit. Like, you don't get any influence in our media. Cut everything off. Put a big-ass wall around the whole United States and, like, tune it all out. And let's take care of our people. 1 week, everyone is crying about, you're letting children starve, the Schumer shutdown, right? Like, you're letting kids starve. We care about that. 5 minutes later, nobody's like, oh, wow, we still got our SNAP benefits. You're screaming about something else. You know, like, let's just keep it here for a minute. Like, really keep it here in the United States a year. Like, Trump, give us a year. Stop talking to other countries. Stop. Just shut everything down. If there's a problem in my house, we don't bring in the whole world and influence on that. It is, we shut up in this house and we're like, okay, let's deal with this. How are we going to fix this here? If there's a problem with a kid, if there's a problem, anything here, how are we going to fix this in my house? No outside influence. The TV goes off. It is just us. So I'm saying right now, like $4 billion a year in weapons to Israel. That's a lot. Let's just everything shut it down. If you're not pro-American, just leave. Like, I know a lot of billionaires that are going to pay for your ticket. If you're like, Brandon, that's extreme. I love whatever. Who are the pro-Gaza people, right? Like, go with there. You. There's still some stuff happening. People will pay for you to get there.
With you.
So go there. Go to Mexico and do those things and go feed children in Africa and go do those things. But like this, all of this, just, I just want a little, what is that? Like affirmation. I just want to be affirmed that Trump is at the end working on America first. I get it. Take care of your family. Anybody's going to do that. I would do that.
Right.
No, nobody, no one with blood running through their veins is not going to protect their family first.
Yeah.
But what a mess.
Maybe some of this is because of his first term too. You know, he was very transparent in his first term and told everybody everything he was doing. And then his people started telling everything that he was trying to do and everything got out and it all kind of fell apart around his ears. And right now you can tell that he's just not telling anybody anything.
Right.
You know, it's a reaction to how bad it was the first term and how bad he got betrayed by so many people, you know. So it may be some of that, because as people, as citizens, we'd love a little reassurance. Just, okay, hey, this is what we're doing, guys. Just give me a position I can defend. give me a reason that I can tell my kids at the kitchen table, you know, this is why. this is happening, but just hang in. President's
Right.
working on this and country's working on that. So don't panic. But when you hear nothing, then that's when we all have to sit here and try and figure it out for ourselves, and we have to guess. So
And now I
it's
spend the
unsettling.
morning saying, if I was the devil,
That's right. What would I
what
do?
would I be doing? Because that ultimately, you guys, that's what this all comes down to. It's not about a human's power. It is about the free will for us to choose spiritually what we decide, what we're going to choose. But yeah, I mean, the bigger the mess is, you guys, that solution, the one world, one rule. I don't think anybody slept on the fact that people have been coming into other countries and pushing their agendas. I think they told us they were going to do it. They're still telling us, and they did it, and useful idiots did nothing. So it gets to the point where we get pushed in a corner, and what choice do we have?
Well, speaking of what the devil likes to do to us, the shutdown's finally over.
It's over.
And I called it on this show. So I don't like
You
to
did.
gloat, but man, I just want to gloat on this one point.
Do it.
Because I was like, you know what? This is what's going to happen. It's already, Fetterman's already breaking. There's a couple of the Democrats with him. Eventually, a couple of Democrats are going to go enough with Schumer and this whole nonsense. This is bad for everybody. And they're going to say, we got to just reopen. And that's exactly what happened, was you had, eight or nine that just said, I'm done with, Schumer and all these other guys over here. This is ridiculous. Everybody knows it's not a Republican shutdown at this point. My constituents know I'm not going to lose my job and my position backing your idiotic play. You got nothing. The president is not going to flinch, and the court system can't help you. When they lost in the Supreme Court on that final point, enough Democrats went, okay, enough, enough. And they crossed the picket line and said, we're done. And the government got to open back up. So now the whole issue is, are we going to get rid of the filibuster so that they can pass the rest of the agenda and not deal with this nonsense at every turn?
Right.
And I've always been a big believer that we have to keep things where they are. Like the filibuster protected Republicans before.
It did.
And I understand that, but where we are now, unfortunately, is that you can't, the argument against that is, well, if we do this, then when the Democrats come into power, they're going to do that. Look, when the Democrats come back into power, they're going to do a lot worse than that.
A lot
And
worse.
they proved it over the last 4 years. So you can't worry about those things anymore. You have to make hay while the sun shines and then survive when it doesn't. And that's it. That's the political landscape now. So do whatever you have to do to put things into law so that they're not executive order. And
Right.
that way, when every time a new president walks in the door, he tears up the other guy's executive orders and writes all of
Exactly.
his new ones, and all of our lives change. Get it through Congress, make it a law, and then you know what? If Congress is completely run by the other side, then that's how the people voted. And whether
Right.
I like it or not, it is still the will of the people. Okay, I can live
Is
with
it though with the cheating? Is
that.
it the will
Well,
of the
that's
people? Because
a whole
I'm.
other topic.
That's the scary part, right? Like, is it the will of the people? I have a hard time believing. I learned the hard way that, I felt like Trump was gaslighting me because he's like, oh, America, great prices, great living wage, like everybody's happy. No, my gas is up. I'm getting less groceries now than I was a year ago for like the same amount of money. So I don't agree. And I put that out there. And research shows that blue states will never get to feel the Trump effect. They just don't. And we voted to raise taxes again. So already nothing has changed for me. And we voted for Whitless to add taxes to everything again. Even locally, they voted on some taxes this year, raising taxes. You guys, Michigan is the worst. Like, I mean, maybe not California worse, but we are
It's
in big
bad.
competition.
It's bad.
So I just don't understand because everybody I know isn't a fan of this. So how is she still here? Like, how are we still a blue state? It's how do people not get that? Like, how are they still voting for all of this? And where's our tax money going? Go down the rabbit hole because you would be pissed. It's not coming back to Michigan. It's not taking care of Michigan people. It's not taking care of Michigan roads. It's
No.
not feeding our kids. It's not helping our education system. It's slush fund money, and people here are lining their pockets. Like, you're a useful idiot at this point. We're not going to see any of that come back. Our communities are not better. Our roads are not better. Nothing is better. So, unfortunately, I mean, that's probably, if I was the devil, I would make sure that blue states didn't let any of Trump's freedom affect us. Because then they could say he was a terrible president. This never worked out for you, but they're still making money. Whitmer's still making money. She feels Trump's effect, you know?
Yeah,
Like,
she does.
she's enjoying the benefits of that.
The I mean, you know, I'm in a red state right below where you guys are at, and we
Yes.
are feeling the Trump effect here. I mean, it takes a long time to get back to where you were because, I mean, from where when Trump
Correct.
left, okay, when he left, and you look at prices then, and then you look at 4 years of what Biden and the progressives did to the country,
Right.
it takes a while to get that back under control. And it takes a lot of work. And he hasn't had enough time to do that yet. But when you look at the discrepancy between where the red states are with cost and price and everything else, and where the blue states are with cost and price and everything else, it really isn't federally run. It's what the states are doing to themselves.
Yep.
All that's being voted for, just like what happened with Mondami, all of that is being
Yes.
voted for by people who shouldn't even be in the state.
Right.
So that's where I always come back to my point. Which is, you know, the time for half measures is past. All of this, you're allowed to riot and get in the cop's face and throw stuff at them and break out their back windows with bricks and everything
Right.
else. No,
Done.
it is time to go in. And honestly, I never thought I'd be in this position, but if that's the state that your city's in, then I have no problem with martial law at this point.
Correct.
I really don't, because you've given up, you've walked away. And now you're actively fighting against it to make sure it can keep going on.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not willing to make sure that only citizens vote, if you're not willing to make sure that there's some integrity in your elections, if you're not willing to keep your police safe,
Yep.
you should not be running a state. And
Exactly.
until you get rid of all of the illegal aliens, I mean, there was somebody estimated, and that was an estimate, but somebody estimated that over 60% of the radical Islamists in Dearborn alone are there illegally.
That's insane to me. There is
And
a
I
march
went,
happening there.
wow. Well, the reason they need to keep these marches is because they're trying to keep everybody scared.
Yeah.
Because if ICE ever walked into Dearborn, if they walked ICE directly into Dearborn with the National Guard behind them, oh my goodness, I got a feeling you'd have truckloads of people getting taken out of there
Right.
because there's no way. All those people showed up legally, drop of a hat, here they are. And they're finding out that there's all these illegal aliens that are being picked up around and through this Dearborn connection. And they're going, wait a minute, we have a problem.
Right.
So they're focusing on these strongholds where these people are congregating. The reason that they're demonstrating in the streets is to keep all the locals from trying to rise up and demonstrate against them. And what England is proving is that when the locals finally do, you know, brave that and take their lives into their own hands, then the government doesn't have any choice but to respond. So, you know, you have 3.5 years, 3+ years anyway, of Trump trying to clean this up. But we need to get serious about the illegal immigration problem and
Right.
stop, you know, doing this with half measures. 4 years of just absolute lawlessness does not get cleaned up with
In a year.
everybody. Yeah, it doesn't get cleaned up in a year. It doesn't get cleaned up by everybody being polite. It doesn't get cleaned up by, you know, everybody worried about their photo op. It gets cleaned up by sending people in to clean it up. And if there's people who are stopping you from cleaning it up, you arrest those people.
Yep.
That's it.
Very simple.
That's
I
it.
just don't, I don't know why it doesn't get communicated so simple
That's it.
for action to be taken there, because that it's so very simple.
Yeah. So
There's
anyway, I
nothing that
just had to get that
complicates
off my
that.
chest. That was my
Yeah.
only little vent. You go ahead back to your
I
thing.
just, I don't understand why ICE hasn't gone through Dearborn.
Because they're stuck in Portland playing games every night.
Yeah.
Every night. The same stuff. I leave Portland. Okay, you know what? Let Portland have
Let
Portland.
them be Portland, but like, Michigan
Let it
doesn't
burn.
want what's happening in Michigan. We're not going to
No.
stop them.
Send them to Dearborn.
Yeah.
And oh my goodness, send Tom Homan himself to Dearborn.
Yeah.
Okay? And give him a trash bag. and one of those little, pickers where you can like grab the wrappers and stuff without bending over
Yep.
for them, Send him up there to clean up, and you are walking out with a truckload, just truckloads of people who are not here legally.
Right.
I mean, if you hear this, go to Dearborn. Okay,
Go to
Tom, listen
Dearborn.
to me, bro. Go to Dearborn because you will cash out
Yes.
up there.
Please.
Oh, yeah. So anyway.
Clean it up. I don't know, you guys. Honestly, no matter what headline is breaking or who is shaking hands with who or how wild the world stage gets, it's not a panic. God is not panicking. He's positioning. So maybe the government is playing chess, Trump is playing chess, whatever the case may be, heaven is still running that board no matter what. And I feel like God does bring beautiful things out of the ugliest things. He's always going to make this a testimony to his power. But that's the thing. Before he rebuilds nations, he rebuilds houses. So get your house in order, your heart, your family, your faith, because this revival isn't going to start in the White House. It's not going to happen in a courthouse. It starts in your house. So I don't want you to get hyper focused on the chaos. And if you're going to speed read like Brandon does for an hour and a half, make sure that the first book you read is the Bible. Because if I don't get rooted in that faith and that truth, I will be so far gone that even Rory could not handle it. And that would be saying a lot. Okay. So stay grounded in what the truth really is. I don't want you so focused on the chaos that you are missing that command for you to step into your potential. So you don't have to get ready if you stay ready. Stay grounded, be obedient, no matter what comes. Like Christ is king, and that's an important message. And he's calling you today. He's saying you need to speak up on this. You need to hold these elected officials accountable. You need to speak up. You need to use your voice to make common sense common again. We're just two people. We can't do this without you. And that should be the movement of encouraging people to step into their potential, to speak up for what is right, for the common sense, for people to be aware of the battle of good and evil. I mean, all of this is head scratching, and we're never going to know. The only thing we know is that God wins in the end. So can't drive yourself crazy trying to find all the answers. I feel like it's, but God uses everything and he uses everybody. Free will today. Get your house in order. Get your city cleaned up. Michigan, help me understand why we're still a blue state. I can't leave. I have like custody stuff. Like there's the, I can't leave. Okay. I'm stuck here. So can I please enjoy the rest of what's happening next year when we're voting? Like, do the research on how great these red states are having it right now. Because they are. They're paying half gas prices, half of what I'm paying. Groceries. I couldn't even imagine. I forgot what it's like to go in the store and not look at my bank account. I forgot that. I don't remember what that's like right now. I want to feel the Trump effect. Okay. So, Michigan, very disappointed. Very disappointed in you. Get your house in order and stop being a useful idiot. So that's all I have for today.
Okay. Closing out.
Yeah, let's close it
Okay.
out.
I'm going to close out with something a little more positive because I've been doing the dad's mad thing for a little while. And, a lot of folks are responding to this podcast that you and I do and talking to each one of us, and they're leaving comments online and everything else. And I think that's awesome. And a lot of what I'm hearing is, there's nothing we can do. Well, it doesn't matter anyway. And this type of thing. We're getting a lot of that response, which is sad. Because it comes from folks who I think are on the right side of things and really want to do something, but honestly feel like they can't. And so my message to all those folks is that you may not be able to go change policy, and you may not be able to change, the voter rolls, and you may not be able to deport somebody who deserves it. But you can bring God into your life. You can bring God into your family's life, and your battle can start at your kitchen table. You can absolutely do something. You are called to shepherd, to disciple your family first. Get all of that right. Get you, get your spouse, get your kids all around the table. Talk about God. Talk about why it matters. Talk about why all of this is happening and explore it from that standpoint and bring the good and evil into it and let your kids know it's okay to have questions. It's okay to root for good. And that it's also okay to go against the grain, and whatever their friends or their teachers or somebody else might be telling them is okay. It starts at home. It starts at the kitchen table. So when you say, "I want to do something, and I don't know what I can do," that's where you start, because nobody, still, at least not yet, can come in and stop you from shepherding your own in your own home at your own table. Start there. And you can make a huge difference if you just take a step forward right there at home. That's it.
Amen to that. Love you guys. See you next time.